Hi everyone. So I'm just tuning in from South Florida. This is my first time back in the US in 5 years. So it's been really interesting to reconnect. And I just wanted to record this little addendum to this episode of 23rd Mind TV. Carl and I recorded it before I left, and that was before Columbia University sent the riot police in to arrest over 100 students. And so since then, I have pulled out of my gig at Columbia and will not be speaking there on May 9th. And I just wanted to let you all know that I pulled out, obviously, in solidarity with the student protesters and with the people of Palestine. So the conference is going to go on. The organizers are conscientious and they are moving it so that it's not on Columbia's campus. So if you are interested in finding out more information about that, you can still go to their website, Wrong Horror. But I will not be there. I have pulled out, and I pulled out last weekend because I felt it was important to take action as quickly as possible. And then on Monday, the 22nd, I flew to the States where I am now. But I still want to post this episode of 23rd Mind TV because there's a lot of other great events happening, including in Miami, May 2nd, for a book launch for my book, Things Happen, and at Quimby's bookstore, May 11th, a book launch for my book, Things Happen. So I will be celebrating those and staying away from Columbia University in protest. If you'd like to hear the talk that I was going to give at a conference, I do have a recording of it from when I was practicing to check the length of the talk. So I will post that recording on our Patreon, both at patreon.com/renderingunconscious, if you'd like to join me there, or if you'd like to join Carl and I at patreon.com/Vanessa23Carl. I'll post the recording of a practice of the talk as well as the paper I was going to give, and the images that I was going to present from each of the artists I was going to talk about. So that way you can still catch it there. So thanks for joining me at Patreon. I really appreciate your support. Thanks to everyone out there who's super supportive. Definitely, especially Lara Sheha and Stephen Sheha, Avi Sakatapulu, and Anne Pellegrini. Be sure to follow all of their work. I'm sure you already do if you've tuned into this channel, because I talk about them and have them on quite a bit. But they've all been very steadfast in their support as well for the students and obviously for the people of Palestine. So definitely check them out and follow their social media and stay on top of everything they're doing as well. All right, see you all again soon. Bye.
Hi, hubby. I'm so excited for whatever umpteenth episode of 23rd Mind TV this is.
Yeah, me too. It's been a while.
It has. The last one we did was at the beginning of the year, but we have so much going on and so much coming up and so much that's just come out in the past couple of months that we figured it's time for another episode of 23rd Mind TV.
Yeah, absolutely. High time. And I'm wondering if maybe we should start with the stuff that's coming up.
That's a good idea. I am leaving to go to the US on Monday.
And you'll have fun and you'll do some great book events.
First time back in 5 years. Yes. So I guess I'll go over those first.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it in chronological order because all these things are coming up. So I'm going to the States next week. And then the following week on May 2nd, I will be in Miami at Bar Nancy. I'll link to everything we talk about in the show notes for this episode. Bar Nancy. And I'll be there during their happy hour from 4 o'clock till 7 p.m. hanging out, having drinks, talking. I'm sure there'll be an impromptu reading from the book at some point when it seems like the perfect time. Everything always flows beautifully. Yes, there's my book. Things happen. I have a
It's a
copy of it
book
too.
evening for Things Happen, an amazing novel by Vanessa.
Things happen. Here's the novel. And I'll also link to get the novel if you're not in Miami or New York where the book launch events are happening. You can get it from Amazon or wherever you like to get books online. Yeah, it's my first novel. It's a cut-up novel. It's fantastic. It's all about growing up in Miami in the 1990s. It was a wild place. Someone I talked to on the most recent episode of the podcast I did said it was a racy book. I
It is
think
a
that's a
racy
good
book.
description. And yeah, I'm going to have one book launch my second at Bar Nancy in Miami. 4 to 7 p.m. And then the other book launch is going to be with two other Chapar authors. It's going to be in New York, in Brooklyn, in South Williamsburg, at Quimby's bookstore from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday, May 11th. It's going to be me presenting Things Happen, Advat presenting Spiral of Objects. He's flying in from Portland for this. It's going to be great. And Jason Hoff presenting Can I See Your Niche, which is a collection of collages and cut-ups.
Both great books. That will be a real cool Trapar Books evening in New York.
Yeah, so Chapar Extravaganza. So that's May 11th. 6 to 9 p.m. And then while I'm in New York, the whole reason I'm going in the first place, which sparked all of these adventures, is I was invited to speak at Columbia University. There's a conference there on May 8th, 9th, and 10th. I just launched the most re recent episode of Rendering Unconscious with the conference organizer, Nathan Gorelick. It's the Rare Books and Manuscripts Library hosting it because all of Otto Rank's manuscripts and archive is housed there. We get to tour that, which is really exciting for nerds like me. And there's three different events that you can register for. They're all free and open to the public, so you can come to one or two or all three. On Wednesday night, May 8th, there's going to be the keynote speaker. A presentation that night. Then on Thursday evening, the 9th, there's going to be a film screened. And you can register for those separately if you can only come in the evening. And then during the day on Thursday and Friday, there's going to be the academic talks. And people like me, Jameson Webster, Leon Brenner, and a bunch of other people. If you want to hear more information, you can listen to the most recent episode of Rendering Unconscious. We talk all about it. It's going to be super fun, and I'm going to be there for everything.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely amazing. Otto Rank is of course highly interesting. So I'm happy that not only that he gets a bit of attention, but also that you're involved.
Yeah, Nathan invited me because he said he read a piece that I wrote that was in like an online journal. And he said that my ideas sounded very similar to Ronk. So I went back and read that piece. And then I've been reading Ronk for the past few months. And he's totally right. My ideas are very similar to Ronk's. And so I used the ideas of mine that are most similar in that Ronk wrote about the artist's place in society. And he also talked about will, the creative will. He felt like people are here to kind of create their lives, and we can think of ourselves and our lives as works of art and kind of use our creative energy for inventing ourselves, which is amazing. And I also talk about the double because he, of course, wrote the famous paper on the doppelganger that Freud talks about in The Uncanny. That's his probably most famous work because of Freud's referencing it in The Uncanny. And so I'm going to present different artists that use the uncanny double in their artwork to explore themselves and, yeah, use their creative will to transform themselves and invent themselves in new ways.
Absolutely stellar. And I look forward to hearing it. I mean, I don't know if they're going to document it, but I hope so.
Yeah, I'll see if I can record it, if anything, but I'm sure probably it'll be documented. And of course, I'll share the paper on our Patreon. So if you want to check out the paper, or the talk that I'm giving. I'm going to post it on our Patreon so our patrons can see it. It's patreon.com/Vanessa23Carl. And the artists I'm talking about are Pierre Molinier, Val Denham, Overtachi, and Briar Purge. So if you're fans of those, you should come if you're in New York. And if not, join our Patreon and you can see the paper there.
Yeah, the usual suspects. On that psychoanalytic note, and also rendering unconscious, we got some pretty interesting books in the mail today.
Exciting! I'm
Yeah.
so excited. The Rendering Unconscious books are here. Volumes one and two.
Yeah,
And they look so good. For the
exactly.
cover, I did a collage and it's a wraparound collage. And then Carl flipped it for the second volume. And I just love this concept. It's so great. They look so great. Thank you so much. You did such a great job putting these together, hubby. And thanks to all the wonderful contributors who contributed to this volume.
Yeah, we should say also that the original first issue of Rendering Unconscious came out 2019, I think, and it quickly sold out, which was great, of course, but a little bit frustrating because there were more people who wanted to read all that good stuff. And then you came up with a great idea in terms of reissuing it and just adding some new material and expand it. And it became so hefty, so voluminous in a way
Yeah, it
that,
was like 600 pages.
yeah, so we
So we
decided
had to
to
split
turn it
it.
into two volumes instead. And it's available as paperback and hardback and also as an ebook, both volumes.
It's wonderful. And I'll link to that, of course, as well. And I'm so happy that it has such great new material and the old material can have new life. And I'd love to talk a little bit about how it came into being because you actually spawned that. We went to a talk in 2017 in January when you were visiting me in New York. Stephen Reisner, our friend, gave a talk called Crazy Like a Fox at the New School, all about DT. We won't mention his name. He shall not be named, who had just been elected president. And, we were all processing, what are we going to do now? It was at the New School. It was hosted by Chris Christian. Stephen was working with Michael Moore on Fahrenheit 11/9. And so Michael Moore was there, which was cool. And then you asked, like, does your Dustin Behagen group like have a journal or, publication of some sort to host all of your writings? And I said no. And then you offered to make this book for us, and it was great. And I thank you so much for that, Carl. And now you can see all these wonderful contributors. A lot are in Dustin Behagen, some are not. The first edition was called Rendering Unconscious: Psychoanalytic Perspectives, Politics, and Poetry. This one we've streamlined to Rendering Unconscious: Psychoanalytic Perspectives, Expanded Edition. But there's new poetry, there's new pieces, and it's just as pertinent to now as ever because things are even crazier than they were in 2017 if we could not have imagined it then. But here we are. And I think it's great. And it's dedicated to my dear friend Andrew Dahl, who passed away. And our friend Peter helped collect together as much of Andrew's poetry as we could possibly find. And so all of Andrew's poetry that we could find is collected together here. And I'm so glad that we could keep it in this way and that it's preserved in this way. So thank you for that. And thank you, Peter. And then another dear friend of ours, Aaron, wrote a beautiful poem for Andrew, and I made that the last entry in the second volume, so it rounds out the collection. So it's very near and dear to my heart as well.
And also, speaking of rendering unconscious again, you've been like a little fireworks station pumping out new episodes. How many episodes have you done now of the podcast?
293.
293
This is
episodes
many
of
hours of my
Rendering
life.
Unconscious podcast. And you also recently started a Patreon for Rendering Unconscious for people who specifically want to support the podcast, and that's very, very highly appreciated, of course.
Yes, thank you. And I also turned my TikTok into Rendering Unconscious, and I started an Instagram for Rendering Unconscious. So you can follow me there. And yeah, please support the podcast. It would be great to have more people there. I've been posting the episodes there first, and then I did some book recommendations and then just some kind of musings about different guests after I've had them on. for an episode or things that are coming up and musings about psychoanalysis and psychoanalytic thinking that you can apply in your life.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's exciting. That's very exciting. What else is going on? Well,
As
there are more.
soon as I get back, we have our cut-up class starting that
Yeah,
Sunday. I get back on
exactly.
Thursday and Sunday, we dive into the cut-ups.
Exactly. Beginning May 19th, there will be Harnessing the Magic and Creative Power of the Cut-Up Method, a la William Burroughs, David Bowie, Genesis P. Orridge. And some of you might recognize that from last year when we did a similar class. This is not identical. We have a new member on the team, Karin Wallis. We'll talk about cut-ups and AI, and we will add new material also. So it's fresh stuff about this incredibly fascinating topic that we love so dearly. So that's one interesting four-session class from mid-May and on into June.
Yeah, and I also,
You
since we
couldn't
just
miss.
got back from Prague a few weeks ago, and we went to the Genesis by P. Orridge exhibition there. I took pictures of basically everything in the exhibition because I knew our Patreon community would want to see it, and I made a slideshow, and I'm going to show that as well, so you can go through the exhibition, and we can talk about all the different ways that Gen use cut up. So it'll be new Gen material as well.
Absolutely. And maybe we shouldn't stretch too much into the future, but in
Yes, you
July,
should.
I will host, or you will host it, but I will have another four-session class called Into the Devil's Den and Back, an Introduction to the Magical System of Anton LaVey and the Church of Satan. And it is, basically what the title says. I'll go through the history of LaVey and the Church of Satan, magic, satanic magic in theory, satanic magic in praxis, and also what this can mean for the future, kind of a trajectory of this particular current. And of course, I love this topic. I've made the LaVey documentary, made the LaVey book based on a documentary, and it just keeps percolating inside my head. So I really look forward to this class, and I think that most of our friends and dare I say fans will also enjoy this class very much. It's a hands-on satanic magic primer in a way. And then further on down the line in September, yet another four-session class, also via Morbid Anatomy. Our friends there called The Magic of Occult Cinema. And I will be talking about exactly that different aspects of occultism within cinema, also different aspects of cinema within occultism, and any and everything in between. Also, topics very dear to me, of course. And it's going to be a great, fun class with lots of clips and beautiful stills. And insights into the wonderful world of sort of forgotten cinema history.
I'm so excited for both of these classes, for all three of the classes, but I'm really excited to see what you put together for the LaVey class and for the occult cinema
Yeah,
class.
it's
And then
going
we
to be
also have
fantastic.
two one-off events at Morbid Anatomy, and that rounds out our year. On June 16th, Advat and I are having like an online book launch party for Things Happen and Spiral of Objects at Morbid Anatomy. And then on September 8th, I believe you're having your one-off class to kick off the kind of occult cinema class.
Right. It's not really a class, but it should certainly a lecture about this beautiful film that I love so much called Orgy of the Dead by A.C. Stevens, and of course written by Ed Wood. And it's an amazing film with many, many layers, if you so desire. And I'll be talking about that. And as you say, it's a kind of a warm-up for the occult cinema class that follows later in the autumn.
It starts the next week.
Right.
So you got 5 weeks in a row.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. Love the platform. Love working together with Morbid Anatomy. And it's just, yeah, it's fun. This kind of interaction and ease that, these kinds of classes via Zoom or other platforms bring. It's such a direct communication in a way. And I, we've attended a few too, and it's a great way of learning about many, many interesting things.
Yeah, I love it. I'm so glad for it. It's like the only good thing that came out of the pandemic is all this online classes and yeah, people getting together online through Zoom and everything. It's really nice to have such community online, especially when we live so remotely. It's great to be able to live remotely and still be so connected.
Absolutely. And then, of course, there will be many, 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 many new books coming out
There's
soon.
already been many new books, hubby.
And what I'm working on now is a book called In Between the Lines, Essays About Magic, Occulture, and Seductive Zombie Strippers. And it's basically like another anthology of my essays from the past year, basically, and lectures also, just like Occulture was, just like Source Magic was, and in a way that like Resonances was also. But this is brand new stuff. And yeah, it's going to be a really fun read. I like it, but then again, I'm partial. And that will be out very soon, I think next week or something like that. And then I will immediately go into full force active editing together of the 12th issue of the Fenris Wolf. And that's also going to be a massive, massive issue of what I call a smorgasbord of occulture and enlightenment. And I won't give any details now. If you want more direct information, you should sign up for the newsletter at the Fenris Wolf Substack. It's thefenriswolf.substack.com. There will be a link to that in the show notes too, which gives you direct information when there are new products out. Fenris Wolf is going to be, yeah, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be well worth the wait since number 11.
Yeah, it's going to be really good. I can't wait to read it. I don't know what's in this one, so this is very exciting for me.
No, it's just a real punch packer.
And I
And
can't wait for In Between the Lines as well. I'm your biggest fan. I love reading all your books.
thank you. And then, of course, slightly overdue, but the third volume of our Magic Monday book. We make them, every year. And I'm lagging behind, but in the end, it doesn't matter. But soon, the third volume, basically summing up then the third year of our Magic Monday posts on our beautiful, beautiful, attractive Patreon site, and it's a good thing, for posterity, I guess, but also for the patrons that we have, and lots of other people too, to actually buy it in book form. And be able to savor and sort of read it in that tangible form, because the people on our Patreon, they can read the Magic Monday posts every week, every Monday, of course. But sometimes you're stressed, sometimes you have other things, and then it's great that once in a while there comes an annual anthology of all these posts where we talk about magic. And where we talk about our own magical practice and all, aspects and insights and inspiration, basically, how we lead our lives and how magic is so totally integrated in our lifestyle.
Absolutely. And I think also because I've noticed in recent Magic Monday posts, I want to like mention something that I know we've already written about, but I'm like, where is that? Am I going to scroll through? You can click the tag on our Patreon for Magic Monday, and it'll take you to all the Magic Monday posts. So it is easy to scroll back. But since we started them in spring of 2020, now it's 4 years of Magic Monday posts. So it's a lot of posts to go through. So it's nice to have them in book form too, so you can easily find what you want to reference. Like I wanted to talk about a cut and clear bath recently and something else, and those were like in the first volume.
Yeah, exactly. And also, it's not only textual, they're more like art books containing full color photographs and all the illustrations we might have used. And it's just a very nice mix between an art book and magical philosophy in a way, and also magical practice.
Yeah, it's like a grimoire, and I love going through them to put them together because it's so fun to look over that year and see how things unfolded because we don't see it like when we're doing it, but then when you look over and you have that overview, you can see how the magic played out over time, and it's really fun to see. And it has made me actually learn a lot more about magic by seeing these kind of overarching layers and patterns that I can see now from putting these books together.
Absolutely. So the ongoing Magic Monday is a great I don't know, self-discipline practice in a way, but also you have to write about stuff that's relevant for our patrons. I have never run short of or the well has never run dry so far. There's simply so much to talk about all the time. So, and
Yeah,
again,
I've been wanting to think of Magic Monday posts ahead of time for this trip so that, I have a few weeks done. And I've thought of so many more than I can use right now. If I put them all, I'll be into like July or August,
Yeah, so people should really check out the first two volumes. It's Magic Monday every day of the week, and we should what's it called? We should call on
Call on
our
our cosmic friends.
cosmic friends. Exactly, two great Magic Monday anthologies. Yeah, and then there are other books, but everything takes time. These three are the ones I'm going to be working on this spring, and they will all be out shortly.
Very cool. And then recently we've had books come out. We had the book come out with Serene Alfonso Williams,
Oh yeah, exactly.
Interlocutor, which has my collages as the illustrations. And
Yeah,
I'm so
a
happy to
beautiful
have
book.
this book
Yeah,
out.
it's a wonderful, wonderful book.
Yeah, it's turned out really beautifully. And Alfonso's musings about like life and philosophy and psychoanalysis and politics and everything are just so lovely to read. It's a great book for like bibliomancy. You can just like flip around in it, and yeah, just pick something and read it. It's like a little missive for the day. So I'm really happy that came out as well. And I've had
Absolutely.
him on the podcast recently too. I've been
Mm.
busting out the podcast almost like you've been busting out the books.
Yes, exactly. That's how we roll.
And we've also been on some podcasts. I was recently on Full Disclosure with Robin Farzad talking about Things Happen. And you were recently on a Occulted podcast with Joe Spooky, talking about Everything Carl. That was a really good episode. And we
And
also did
the
Keith
mask and the
Rothz's
mirror.
Haunted Knocks.
Yeah. And the Mask and the Mirror is a very, very good podcast too. Great interview.
Yeah, so those are great too, and I can link to different podcasts we've been on recently.
Yeah, so it's I wouldn't say that it's all normal. It never is normal, but we're just in a steady flow of putting out fairly interesting stuff, I'd say.
I think so. And I just finished editing The Queerness of Psychoanalysis from Freud and Lacan to LaPlanche and Beyond. That'll be out on Routledge this autumn. So that's exciting. They just wrote me back today and they're all happy with the manuscript and we're picking out cover art. So to be continued, stay tuned.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I wanted to mention these little things too. Recent reissues or
Yes.
releases of old White Stain stuff. This one is Single-minded dualisms. It's like a collection of singles, the very early singles by White Stains, basically 1988, 1989,
Looks so good.
in a beautiful CD. And yeah, it's a memory lane trip, but it's very interesting to hear. I like all of it, of course, because I am partial. But it's very interesting to hear a kind of progression or a trajectory where you can, I remember all these influences that changed the way we sounded, etc. And then just very, very recently, Dreams Shall Flesh, basically our second album that originally came out in 1991. This is Dreams Shall Flesh Redux. I changed a few tunes, added some previously unreleased tracks. And I'm very happy with this for the same reason, basically. One, It's nice to hear go down memory lane, but also from the point of view of maybe even current musical projects, to hear that kind of progression, you know, to see that we were changing. And I hope I'm still doing that. I would say so. And there will be many, many more CDs coming out by the issued by the beautiful label Zoharum in Poland. There will be many more White Stains and also Cotton Ferox CDs coming out.
Yeah, they look really beautiful and they sound really great. And Pete Murphy and I have been putting out albums, of course, as well. Pete's amazing. And the most recent one is called Magic City. And maybe we could watch my video. I premiered it. We recently had a chat for everyone in our Patreon community just on sun last Sunday. And I showed everyone this video I made for this song called Pack Your Bags. And I hadn't realized I had originally made the video to show on Pete Rotz's Hontonox on the equinox, on the spring equinox. He does Prag Magic podcast. But we had so much stuff to talk about that we didn't get to the video that I made. But then it worked out perfectly because, yeah, it's called Pack Your Bags. And it's to Magic City, which is Miami, which is where I'm going on Monday. So it's kind of perfect that it comes out now. So maybe we can play that.
Sure thing.
Pack your bags.
Pack your bags.
One world at a time.
At a time.
It is happening when something clicks for a picture. To murder. Ideology is structured like an addiction. Capitalism as the dispossessed. Option of self-negation in the field of infinite possibilities. And yet it always remains. 76 objects to do whatever they would like with her. On the conceivable radar of action. A gun, one single bullet, candles. Have to be absolute. Adaptation. Returned. Turn away. I have this power over you. I have this power over you. I have this power over you. Maria Padilla has her manifestations in every natural kingdom and in all reigns of Kimbanda. And we can, therefore, know it is happening. When something clicks for a picture, the cement, therein concealing its former existence.
Yay, so that was Pack Your Bags from Magic City. You can find it at Pete Murphy's Bandcamp, petemurphy.bandcamp.com. And also, happily, we've recently sold out of all the standard editions of our DIY CDs that we made a few years ago. We only have two left, but they're actually still like special editions because they do have original collages in them. We have a few box sets that we made with original collages in them, but all the standard editions are now sold out of Mementeros and Cuts with the Fit to Mouth and other things. But we have a couple of the CD I did with Per Olun called Follow My Voice. And yeah, they come with original collages, so I can link to those as well.
Yeah, you should. They're very, very good. Yeah, people should just grab them while they can.
Yeah, maybe at the end of this episode, I'll put a song from one of those on too.
Yeah.
I'll look through and see which ones I've made videos for and pop one up. Cool.
Very cool indeed. Very cool indeed.
I can also do when I recorded a podcast episode I haven't put together yet with Advat, and he did a reading from his book. And, I think there's enough there that I could put some of it in this episode and then keep some of it for the podcast with Advat.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll put a little, yeah, I definitely will. I'll put a reading from Advat from Spiral of Objects so that people can check out what that book's about because I really love that book. That and the Jim Morrison book were my favorite books last year. I sent anyone I got a Christmas gift, got one of those or both. And I, as I say on the book cover, that is totally to me a queer or a naked lunch for this generation. I think it's just an exquisite book and is going to have a huge cult following.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's listen to Advat.
So this is Advat 3. He waits for an up, a customer. At the greeting station, a glass panel surrounding the podium, the sunset right in his eyes through the glass doors to the store. He can see the rolling gray-purple outline of clouds cutting the sky just below the sun, pouring light off their edge. It is slow in the store. His co-worker, Jody, another sales rep, walks near him and raises her arm. She points at the sun and says nothing for a moment, her eyes caked with black rings and heavy black lashes resembling dead spiders dipped in black ink, squinted. Her powder puff face froze, and then she says, "I used to think heaven was right up there, right above the sun." Anubhav smiles. She is a playful old broad, kind with bleached hair and poofy fabrics. She ignores him and wanders away to reset the pillows on a mud-colored love seat. He lets the sun hurt him, absent-mindedly peering into it. Then a young woman appears through the glass doors, walking steadily. She has a white, pink flower-printed dress, vintage with puffed sleeves, and a bow tight against her thin waist. As she steps through the door, blocking the sun's path into Advat's eyes, he sees her complex and exaggerated features. Her pale complexion uncanny. Her double-wide lips stretch from the convex of her front to the side panels of her cheeks in a hideous block of lip that Advat did not know possible. Her nose convex was so pencil-thin that when frontward-facing, it disappeared and her nose turned into a minute shadow of a tip and two dotted nostril impressions. And when she turned, her face elongated like that of a lizard. Her nose bridge, a schlong but dainty in girth. Her eyeballs sit tight at the end of said bridge, 2 times the size of Advat's average eyes. Her eyelids thin, eyelashes are gone as though she hadn't eyelids, and she hadn't eyebrows either. "Welcome in today, ma'am. Are you here for the promotion? Most items in the store are 45% off today. Are you looking for anything in particular?" Advat touted indiscriminately. "A promotion? No, I'm looking for a bed frame, just a bed frame." Her voice, like a gray gravel on a slow conveyor belt, hushed and otherwise light and airy, a shy and measured, sweet but battered vocal. "Well, ma'am, I can walk the floor with you and let you see all of our bed frames. Do you know what color or style you're interested in?" "I like white. I like your shabby chic. I took a peek of your selection already online," she replies dutifully. "Right this way. What is your name?" "Mine is Advat. I'll be taking care of you today." "My name is Ambergris, like amber and grease," she pronounces clearly. "That's a lovely name. I have never heard it before." He talked while he led her to the white bed sets. "Are you refurbishing your bedroom, Ambergris?" She was a few inches smaller than himself, and he guessed her in her early to mid-20s. Her head took up most of her girth, her body lanky, milky, with a stretchy layer of fat that hid her bones like a rubber film. "Yes. You might be interested in this bed here. It has a distressed white finish, cottage style with an upholstered headboard. The chipping on it is handcrafted in our workshop," Advat touted more, matching her hushed tone. "It's exquisite." The words, he noted, crept out of her lips like a bug. "Excellent. We just want the bed frame or the whole bedroom 24-piece set?" he asked enthusiastically as his brick and wall personality could muster. "I want the whole set, and I need a mattress," she replied. And so he led her slowly as if floating to the dream center. The corporate soundtrack arranged a botched rendition of Running Up That Hill, A Deal with God. It was Advat's favorite track on the Microwave Brain soundtrack. "Fuck me," he thinks. "This beautiful freak is going to make my quota. My luck is leaking from the walls." "Ambergris, are you a back, stomach, or side sleeper?" She had become distracted with the gray sectional, but quickly rejoined his pace. "Side sleeper," she replied. I'm going to pick out this pillow for you. Keep it with you while we try out the beds. Do you sleep hot? Sometimes, she replied. I'm going to start you out on the Melismatic Lux Breeze Cool. Are you familiar with Melismatic? I've seen the commercials, she replied. Melismatic was developed by Dutch scientists in the 1970s to protect mountain climbers from the impact that their gear makes on their bodies when they experience a fall. This material has prevented injuries, and it's almost also amazing to sleep on because it conforms to your body. You don't conform to it. The blend of material is a proprietary recipe, a closely guarded secret in the industry. Go ahead, lay down and tell me what you think. She lays on the bed with the melismatic pillow. He sees her head sink into the pillow and then her body melting down into her body impression and staring blankly with her odd eyes at the ceiling. The bed reminds Advat of flan and Emma Grace's a rare pink-spotted white gecko sinking into a square of flan. I feel like it's swallowing me, digesting me, she said slowly. That's the proprietary blend. Now, I can make it even better. With the power base, I can take 25 pounds of pressure off your back. Now, you let me know when you feel the weight come off. Advat beamed, clicking the remote slowly and raising his legs. I feel my blood pumping swiftly to my heart from my toes, she finally said. That's right. It's great for circulation. Now, I'm going to put you in a cradle position. This is the reason we sleep on our sides. Our bodies want to mimic the fetal position when we rest. The cradle position will achieve this for you. Advat clicked the remote to raise her head and neck, her body and the mattress rolling like a wave in the air. Finally, she shut her deranged eyes, and her fat lips parted. I only feel comfortable, as if I were floating in a womb. I can see my mother's cheek. I laid my hand against her cheek every night before I fell asleep in bed with her and my father. I can see his pimply back, my father. I can see the old metal bed frame. I slept between them in their bed, you see. That must have been the last time you got restorative sleep. You see, most adults don't attain the deep restorative levels of sleep that we need to properly rejuvenate. This mattress and power base will give you restorative sleep, guaranteed. I believe you, mister, she whispered. Swadbot prattled on. Did you know that your mattress doubles in size after 8 years? This is because of the dead skin, bodily fluids, and bed mites that replicate themselves inside of your mattress. With this mattress, I will sell you a special mattress protector that is completely mite-proof, so you can count on keeping this mattress for up to 40 years. What if I don't want the protector? She whispered, practically asleep. Ma'am, it's highly recommended for your health. What about the health of the bug? Her consciousness departed. He takes the liberty to write up the sale, the full bedroom set, the mattress, bringing up to $18,000. An excellent break for him. It is summer, and he has to raise money for next semester's tuition. He had felt the lawful heat rise on his old business, and so cut out his moonlighting in fear of prison. He has only been working this shit job for about a month now, and he is the lowest-ranking salesman because of his freshness and rounded lack of enthusiasm for business. This particular sale will get the others to zip it. Maybe they will stop making their snide comments to his side and talking to Advat as if they are modern royal apes in their buffoon manner. No, not with this write-up. Meanwhile, ambergris further fits into the memory foam and gel blend. With every effortless exhale, she sinks deeper into the mattress until she feels silicone fibers prickle her skin in a pleasurable experience. The fluorescent light grows orange from behind her lids, and when she lifts her lashless lids, she sees an enormous petal surrounding her porous bud that she lays on. She crawls on her hands and knees down a curling stem with her eyes wide open and her tongue leaking from her ballooned lips. Her blonde mop of hair remains stiff on her shoulders. She crawls through a meadow, passing owl cubs, asleep in their nest with their gray tuft falling, scampering lizards and squirrels. She sees an enormous lagomorph approach her in a hop. Ambergris, your order is ready for checkout unless you want to pick out more. She had rolled lopsided on the bed. The lagomorph's body grew fuzzy in her mind's eye until she saw her sales rep standing before her in a dusty fur floating away like a floater's in the eye. Here. She fumbles in her white leather purse. Just take my card. She inhales and exhales. Advat took the card. It is a MasterCard and has two snake graphics on the left-hand corner. full thick-brained snakes hissing at each other's tongues. He runs it up through the sail and writes it. While he waits for the receipt to print, his apish co-worker towers over him, his palms sweaty from the excitement of his commission. He softly booms, "Hey, little bunny, you were supposed to split that with me. That's too big of a sail for you. You know I have the manager's override." "You didn't do shit. I had already greeted her outside before she came in." "Fuck off, Phil. I'll tell Paula. I make $2 million a year for this company. They don't give a fuck about your sale." His enormous hands clasp the back of Advat's head and as if he were to slam into the computer screen. "Well, Phil, you have the override, don't you? Why even tell me?" Advat ignored the physical harassment. He collects the receipt and scampers toward Ambergris, still in a fetal relaxation. "You're all set, Miss Ambergris. Here's my card if you have any questions." She propped herself up and impresses her back against the memory foam pillow. "When are you off? I need you to look at my house, Advat. I need you to help me arrange my furniture so there is room when the delivery comes." Advat thinks this request strange, whether it is about is about to walk out of his employment anyways. He had decided to alert his manager, Paula, about Philip, and by quitting and writing him up as the reason. "We can leave now," Advat replied, caustically enthused. He follows her out of the parking lot and enters her white bug vehicle. He hadn't seen a car like this since the 2010s. The seats are lined with blush pink fabric covers. She drives with the intense nervous jerks of her arms. With both hands on the steering wheel, she has an Enya CD in. They listen to Flora's Secret. The beautiful song arranges the beautifully grotesque face of Ambergris, who smells like chewy and snot, sparks a laughable desire in Advat. He wants to fly in the great blue sky with her, to run away with her and explore open fields. He notices that she smiles with him while they listen to the Enya, that her gums are red and agitated, and her teeth are big like a large mammal. He wonders who had conceived this strange beauty, if her parents were in the arts and entertainment and let her eat too many confections as a child. She has the peculiar look of someone that had undergone plastic surgery at a young age, a look Advat had never viewed. She has the first impression of a quiet child, one who loves someone, her mother and father, or maybe her grandparents. Someone was good to her. She has the shyness of social exclusion, probably due to her looks, and the aloofness that comes with getting used to that exclusion over many years.
Cool. That was Advat reading from A Spiral of Objects. So if you're in New York, join us on Saturday, May 11th at Quimby's Bookstore from 6 to 9 p.m. Advat will be with me and Jason Hoff, and we will be there giving readings, signing books, and hanging out.
Perfect.
And if you're not in New York, you can join us online on Sunday, June 16th. Me and Advat are having a reading and book launches then too. And that's free for everyone who wants to come. And mm-hmm. I'll link to a link where you can order the book from Amazon.
Perfect. Get all the books. They're very good.
They really are. It was really nice to hear in our Patreon community get together how much everybody loves Tripar. Has their favorite book distributor, favorite book publisher.
Yeah, it's probably mine too.
It's definitely mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's more, hubby, but I think I'm tired and I'm not sure what else there is.
I am sure there is more, but I can't think of it.
The big news today was getting the Rendering Unconscious books.
That's right.
It's like we get so many books, it's hard for us to keep up.
Off the press.
We can't keep up with ourselves. Mm-hmm. But these came in the mail today and they look amazing. And yeah, I'm so proud of them, Rendering Unconscious Volumes 1 and 2, the book. And I really love how my collage turned out on the cover.
Yeah.
It's really special for me to have my artwork on it like that. And yeah, and as always, you can look at collages in my Etsy store if you're interested. They're there and they're all about $99 and includes free shipping anywhere in the world. So $99, you can get an original Vanessa Sinclair collage. So go to my Etsy store and check that out. Carl has his new newsletter, the Fenris Wolf Substack, which he's been putting out amazing content every week, a couple times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved what you've been doing with that. And then
Yeah,
I run
I love
up.
that format,
So
much
good.
so than the old, or the most recent newsletter platform I had. This is much more fun to work with, and I believe that it's more efficient. Also, I can see that in the sense that I can see that there are actually a lot of people joining every week. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, it's really nice. And they all come to my Substack because of yours, because you recommend me. That
Yep.
everyone that I get that joins says they come from Fenris Wolf. So thanks, Carl.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And yeah, and you can go to our websites, carlabrahamson.com, Carl with the C, Abrahamson with two S's, and sign up and stay abreast of everything. And my website is drvanessasinclair.net. And you can sign up for my Substack as well, which I run renderingunconscious.substack.com and vanessa23carl.substack.com. And I think they all go to the same people. So yeah. And we've got our Patreon. Oh, our Patreon has a Discord now. It's had for the past few months, and that's been really fun. That's basically taken my social media itch. And anytime I want to chat with people, I just go to our Discord now. I like never look at social media anymore. I completely forget about it, actually. And I only remember it when I need to like post something for the podcast or something, because I just love chatting with everyone in our Patreon community at our Discord. So if you join Rendering Unconscious Patreon or Vanessa23Carl, you get a link to join our Discord and you can talk to other people. It like weeds out any noise. Everybody there is amazing. Everyone's magical, creative, really smart, doing great stuff. Insight oriented, psychoanalytically minded, people that love cut ups and magic and creativity. And it's just great. And I've been learning things and sharing. We talk about movies and books and films and magic and, see how everyone's doing on the 23rd of the month and all the at the eclipse and the full moons and anything astrologically that's going on. So it's been a great, it's a great community. I love it. Cool. So then I guess to end, I'll play a song from the album with Per Arlund, and we'll see y'all next time. See you
Yes.
at either one of the events in Miami or New York or online at one of our classes or events there.
Everyone is very welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
The enigma is not the beginning. It is already secondary. It emerges against this background of a forced choice of meaning. It is only against this background that the whole story of enigmatic message of the other can take off, of searching for meaning, of desire for understanding, a presupposition that the symbolic reality of the field of the other is coherent, that the other knows. When he was done, I rolled over, pulled at my pants and zippered them, and then sat up and started to straighten my hair, to scramble away, intending to achieve a safe distance, sit up and have a cool, reasonable conversation with him. He was probably drunk, and if I could get clear, I could handle him easily enough. If I could just get clear. If I could just get clear. If I could just get clear. Symbols of transformation. The blood, however, seems to suggest the cycle wasn't complete. Other inner figures appeared in his fantasies, like Ka, a kind of earth spirit. But the most important was Philemon, who became an inner guru. Paintings he did at the time, which he collected in what he called the Red Book, The symbolic id distinct from being specified, as it were, as a whole. What is striking, however, is that the true whole is here, at the site where it is revealed that there is no other of the other. This presupposes or implies that one chooses to speak the tongue that one effectively speaks. In actual fact, one does no more than imagine to oneself that one is choosing it. Moreover, what resolves the issue is that at the end of the day, one creates this tongue. What is taken from the past and how it is projected. What is promoted and what isn't. The obvious explanation is that the change in behavior of the loved one is intolerable, and its inconsistency means that the subject chooses to believe in two different people rather than one person. We can both gratify and frustrate, perhaps through their successive presences and absences. Duchamp replaced the human body with machine imagery and thematized representation of the female subject, object. Her use of technology and mechanomorphic forms makes connections between the human body and machinery and explores sexuality and threats against the body. She predated structuralism, which theorizes how different sign systems codify and shape understanding of the world. In her contributions of word and image, and her interest in sound and music, the body and figuration were abandoned altogether in favor of an even more gender-anonymous approach that explored geometric patterns and attempted to break aesthetic expression down into the simplest forms. Data women drove an even greater loosening of content in suitably diverse ways, whether the fragmentation of the body, the challenge to conventional forms of representation, or the removal of the unstable figure altogether. These radical gestures constituted attempts to find new means of representation and expression. We live in a world of systems, of structure. We are raised to believe that this is inevitable, the natural order of things. Science proves it's so. But what happens when we start to question this order, dare to challenge it? And what would happen if we break it down, disassemble it, cut it up? If we break it down, disassemble it, cut it up.